Okay, let's turn our Bibles to Psalm 120. Psalm 120. It's a song of degrees. Verse 1. In my distress I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips, and from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given unto thee, or what shall be done unto thee, thou false tongue? Sharp arrows of the mighty with coals of juniper. Woe is me that I sojourn in Mesech, that I dwell in the tents of Kedar. My soul hath long dwelt with him that hateth peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you would speak to us and instruct us from out of your word. We pray, Father, that you would grant us understanding and help us to know how to apply these words to our own lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we come to a portion of the Psalms which are called songs. Okay? Now you may have noticed if you read your, New Testament, especially in Colossians 3 and Ephesians 5, that portion where it says in Colossians 3:16, but speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart. Now have you ever wondered what psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs are? Usually the run-of-the-mill interpretation is, well, psalms refers to the psalms, hymns refers to the hymns, and spiritual songs must refer to, of course, they must refer to choruses, right? But when Colossians 3:16 was written, there was no such interpretation. All of these refer to the psalms. The psalms in the Greek translation of the Psalms, the Septuagint, they were all given titles. Some were psalmos, some were hymnos, and others were udos, which are songs. And here, these psalms here, and even in the Hebrew, they're called songs. Okay? All right? They're songs. The psalms and hymns and spiritual songs referred to in Colossians 3 and Ephesians 5, the song part, at least, refers to this category of psalms, which are called the songs of degrees. And these comprise of Psalm 120 to Psalm 134. And they're called psalms of degrees, or songs of degrees, or songs of ascent, because this is what the pilgrims would sing as they would ascend up to Jerusalem. Now, why is it described as ascending up to Jerusalem? Very simple, because Jerusalem was at the top of a mountain, right? So people go up, they ascend up, they are walking up the degrees of the mountain. So they would go to these great festivals in Jerusalem, like Passover, Pentecost, and the Day of Atonement. And you can imagine pilgrims coming from all over Jerusalem. They found it tough. They didn't have, 4x4s they could drive, or, the rich, of course, had their camels and their horses, but it was rough terrain. And so these pilgrims were coming all from all over the place. They longed for the fellowship of God's people. They longed to be in God's house. And, the nice thing to think about, and this is, recorded also in the annals of church history by people like Josephus, is when the pilgrims came together, they sang these songs. So just imagine, if you will, we're heading down to Busselton for for Bible conference, we rent the bus, and everyone on the bus is singing. That's the picture that you have. People were singing these songs as they were going to Jerusalem. And one of the psalms they would have sung, obviously, is Psalm 121. It was a perilous journey to Jerusalem. So they said, I to the hills will lift mine eyes, from whence doth come my aid? My safety cometh from the Lord, who heaven and earth hath made. So, they, as they were going up right? They were praying for safety, right? That their feet would not slip. But Psalm 121 is the second hymn or the second psalm of this entire thing. The first one that they would have gathered to sing would have been Psalm 120. Now, even though it is a song of degrees, and this is something that the pilgrims would have sung, you might think, what a strange psalm to begin with. You're gathered with all of these people, all your friends, family, strangers, and you're all heading down to Jerusalem, and you sing this very strange psalm, which sounds very melancholy. You know, I am distressed. I am sad. You know, woe is me. Right? But in that one sense, why shouldn't they sing this psalm? Now let me ask you, they were going down to Jerusalem. Pray tell, what were they going down to Jerusalem to do? Sorry, it's meant so that you can answer. What were they going down to Jerusalem to do? Worship. Where? Temple. What would they do at the temple? Sacrifice. Why do you need to offer sacrifice? For what? There you go, right? So before they went down to Jerusalem, and they knew they were going down there for a purpose, they were doing it for their sins. They were coming as sinners. They were coming as people who needed atonement. They were coming as people who were discouraged. So there are two things I want to focus on from this psalm. Pilgrims are discouraged sinners, and we want to take a look at the reasons for their discouragement. Okay? So it is not all that strange that they would sing this, right? Now, so we see firstly from this psalm that the pilgrims admitted that they were discouraged sinners. Right, the first thing we see is that, you know, he was discouraged. And really, to acknowledge that you're a discouraged sinner is not all that bad of a thing, right? In verse 1 it says, in my distress. So he was a man who was greatly distressed, right? He found himself in difficulty. And which Christian does not find himself in difficulty? Right? 1 Peter 1:6, it says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. All right, manifold trials. And if I were to speak to you and say, pray tell, what are your joys in your life? You know, most likely your joys will be this much. And pray tell, what are your complaints? And your complaints will be this much. Why? Because that's the Christian experience. And you know, when Peter wrote the word manifold temptations, the word manifold literally means multicolored. You know, you have three primary colors, you have seven rainbow colors, right? If you were to, you know, increase the palette, if you use Photoshop, well, how many colors do you have? Right? You turn on the TV, it is technicolored. You know, as many colors as there are, so too are there trials and problems in life, right? So this, folks, is the Christian experience. This is what all of us experience, right? And to admit it, there's nothing wrong with that. It's a good thing, right? We struggle with our sins. We struggle with victory, you know, not having victory. We're all in heaviness. And the second thing that, you know, not only was he discouraged, but he also admitted that he struggled with sin. Verse 5, he says, woe is me, right? Woe is me. And of course, we all remember the famous place where woe is me is uttered is by Isaiah, who said, woe is me, for I am undone. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. So here, he was admitting that he struggled with sin. So all of us as pilgrims, you know, we are discouraged sinners from time to time. And really, that's not such a bad thing to realize and to admit. You know, we could all do with a bit more sobriety in our lives. You know, there's a lot of happy, clappy Christianity around, isn't there? You walk into any church, you know, people are rejoicing, they're clapping, they're having fun, right? But that's actually not what Christianity is always about. You know, have you seen those bumper stickers, honk if you love Jesus? Well, maybe not in this country, but you've probably heard of them, right? Honk if you love Jesus, or, you know, smile, right? Jesus loves you, right? But what is the actual situation that we find ourselves in? Yes, we need encouragement, but the Christian experience is actually one that is very sobering. You know, rather than wearing badges that say, smile, Jesus loves you, sometimes we need to wear badges that say, frown, God is holy. You know, or we need to wear badges that tell us, persevere, because your life is tough. That is more accurately the Christian experience. You know, we should wear badges that say, you know, pray for me, because life on this earth is 70 years, if by reason of strength it be 80, and it is by what? Labor. It is tough. Right? That's the Christian experience. You know, if we look at the Bible, you know, and we open the pages of the Bible, more often than not will you see people who are struggling more often than they are happy. Can you point to a very happy person in the Bible? Quick, one that jumps into your mind. What's that? Solomon was happy because of sin. But if you, right, it's harder. But if you say, point to someone who was sad, immediately, Job, Elijah, right, Jeremiah, all of these people keep popping up in your head. You know, remember Elijah? He was supposed to have won some major battle, and then what did he do? He crawled underneath a juniper tree and wished for death. Right? Jeremiah was in the, you know, in the pit. You know, he had preached to people, and you know, he thought, wow, my preaching should at least affect someone, but he ran away because everyone wanted to kill him. Right? People, this is the Christian experience, more so than a happy, clappy kind of experience, you know, that we see that people want to cultivate today, right? You know, well, even the disciples on the road to Emmaus, what was their experience? They were sad, right? Not to depress you, but this is what the pilgrims sang on the way to Jerusalem, to be sober, to remind themselves what the Christian walk really was, right? But because we struggle and because we sin, we need to seek after God. Now, we take a look now at what the psalm says about the reasons for their discouragement. Why was the psalmist? Why are pilgrims? Why are all of us, you know, sometimes in great discouragement? Very simple. Because we are in constant battle, right? Verse 1 tells us he's distressed. Verse 2, he was praying for deliverance. What did he want to be delivered from? From lying lips, right? From a deceitful tongue. Then in verse 4 also, we find that, you know, he experienced sharp arrows of the mighty with coals of juniper. So this was his experience. Lying lips, deceitful tongues, sharp arrows, and burning coals. Now, is that not our experience also? It is, isn't it? You work very hard. Your boss gives you problem. Your clients give you problem. You go home. You see your wife's face, black as a thundercloud. Or you've been working so hard, cooking up the storm, cleaning up the place, and your husband walks back, his face like a thundercloud. Right? Your kids, you know, you teach them and they're rebellious, you know, or your parents, you know, they're unreasonable. You know, life is like that. You face trials every single day, right? And not just that. On Sunday, you come to church, pastors crying on the pulpit, you know, people got black face, whatever, you know. Life is tough, isn't it, right? There's a constant battle that the Christian faces. And often, the more consecrated we are in our lives, the more problems we face, isn't it? Isn't that what Christ said? Isn't that what Paul said? Right? The man who purges himself of all of these, right? The one who lives godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We will receive problems, right? So there are thousands of troubles in this life. I like that word in 1 Peter 1, right? It's manifold. It's multicolored, right? Multicolored. Then, another reason why he was discouraged was because he felt spiritually dry. Now, he was away from the house of God. He was going on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, right? But what do we see in verse 5? Where did he stay? Where was he from? I sojourn in Mesech. I dwell in the tents of Kedar. Now, both of these places are hundreds of miles away from Jerusalem. Mesech was in the northeast. Kedar was in the southwest of Jerusalem. All right? You kind of wonder to yourself, why is he in two places at the same time? Well, obviously he is not. He's talking about the state of all the pilgrims. They come from far away, right? They are not in the house of the Lord. They are sojourners. They live in tents. And these were pagan lands. So wherever he is, we know that he is not with the people of God. He is nowhere near the temple of God. He is not hearing the word. He is not seeing the sacrifices. He's basically absent. And that is why he needs to make pilgrimage. You know, these feasts in Jerusalem were great occasions. You know, Jerusalem probably, you know, in the day of the psalmist was, I don't know how many people, 20,000, 30,000. But in the time of Jesus, Jerusalem was probably about 50,000 people. Right? Now, on these feasts, all these feasts of the year, when pilgrims started to come, the population would swell from 50,000 to 200,000. It was like a, you know, it's like imagining 500 people coming for our Christmas service. Right? It was an incredible swell. It was a fourfold swell. And this was a time of joy and celebration. And to be away from this was to be away from the means of grace. And you know, what do we learn from this? What are points of applications that we can learn from this? I think one major one is we all go through problems, but when we go through problems, where is the place that we need to be most? In the house of God, among the people of God. That is the place that we ought to yearn for. And that is why Psalm 122, verse 1 says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. You know, when you're dry, when you're struggling, the place really not to be is away from the church of God. The place to be is with God's people. And that is why, you know, Hebrews 10 tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. But as we see the day approaching, that we would encourage one another the more, stirring, provoking one another to love and to good works. So the psalmist was discouraged because he struggled and because he was away from fellowship. And that's a good thing that he realized that, because he was on his way to Jerusalem. It's one thing to think about, you know. I guess many of these points. You know, Christianity is not just merely happy-clappy. It's not a religion where we're happy all the time. And that's not what it's supposed to be. But it's a religion where we have hope in God. When we are discouraged, we go to Him. I think this ought to be also a corrective, you know, to us. You know, not to think that, you know, we should be happy all the time, but we certainly ought to be joyful all the time. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray for wisdom to apply it to our lives. Sober us. Help us to know, Lord, that the Christian life is difficult, but we are sustained because Jesus grants unto us sacrifice, and we have the church of God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.